So welcome to the studio, Chris. It's lovely to have you live on this beautiful day. I was wondering if you could explain to a listener, what is osteopathy?
Good morning and thank you for having me here. Osteopathy is a very simple type of therapy. It was discovered by a Dr. A.T. Still in 1874. And he discovered that health can only be realized when all the tissues and cells of the body function together in harmonious motion. And he termed this osteopathy. It's a very simple and elegant philosophy. And put simply, osteopathy treats the osteopathic lesion. Now, the term lesion itself is just a general term for injury, whether it's slight or serious. And the osteopathic lesion is one which interferes with the normal functioning of the body. And its particular relevance is in the spine, because all the nerves that supply the organs in the body come out in between the bones of the spine, and it's the only place in the body where we do find that, where nerves actively pass between joints. So they're much easier to be interfered with.
And it can be extremely painful.
Well, people who get back pain are the lucky ones, because if you get the pain in the back, then you tend to do something about it. Whereas if you don't get pain, if you have a strain in your back, and the joint's there about the same size as the fingernail of your little finger, and if you get a sprain there, it interferes with that nerve. You don't get pain. The organs of that nerve supplies also work below par. So they can be associated with things like stomach ulcers, heart conditions, bowel conditions, asthma. And you don't think to look in your spine. You try and treat the end product of the injury rather than the injury itself. So if you have the pain, if you have back pain, neck pain, and you go and do something about it, consider yourself lucky. It's when you don't have that and you have just that silent injury eating away at your vitality, then until you actually reach the end product of that, you won't know that something's going wrong.
So why is the spine so important? I mean, I guess the spine is what supports your whole body, but why is it so important to work with the spine directly?
Well, if we go back to even somebody like Hippocrates, 400 years BC, he said that it's necessary to know the nature of the spine, what its natural purposes are, for such a knowledge will be requisite for many diseases. It's the highway of communication between the brain and the body, both from the physiological side, how the heart regulates itself, how the stomach regulates itself, how the body knows where to send blood to different parts. I'm sure we've all had that experience where we've done exercise after eating and we've created the conflict between a blood demand for the muscles and for digestion, and we get a cramp. Mm-hmm. That's carried out, all those physiological processes are carried out and regulated through the brain, through the spine and through the nerves which go out into the body and out into the organs from the spine. So it has a central role. The communication then also between our emotion and our emotional self is through one of the major nerves called the vagus nerve. Vagus means wanderer. It starts at the base of the skull and distributes itself to the heart, lungs, stomach, liver, and all the organs in the intestine. And its function isn't just to regulate those, but it's also the highway through our emotions into the body and that gut feeling that we have back to the brain, so that you can't separate the physical, the physiological, the mental, the emotional from each other.
I'm very familiar with osteopathy, but I'm also familiar with a lot of different practice, holistic practice. And sometimes it's very hard, maybe for listeners, to understand exactly what osteopathy and what's the difference, say, for example, between osteopathy and chiropractor, or between osteopathy and hands-on healing. So perhaps you could explain to us a little bit more in detail.
It's a difficult thing to explain, and to try and understand it, we have to go back to what was happening in America in the 1800s. And if you're like me, you're brought up with the Westerns, we tend to think of it as a backward place. But it was a hotbed of intellectual activity, and it was a melting pot of every type of healing activity that there was available, from homeopathy, healing that came from the American Indians, bone setting, as well as ordinary medicine. And osteopathy grew out of that mechanical side of things. Chiropractic started around the same time. The founder of chiropractic went to the founder of osteopathy and studied under him for a short while. And both of them saw the prime importance of the spine in health. They then tended to diverge. The osteopaths tend to go down more gentle and physiological routes, and chiropractic tend to go down the more short, sharp treatment of trying to put things back into place. Well, the osteopaths, if we quote Little John, who's my centre's named after, said that you have to not just put something back in place, but you have to prepare the ground for it first. Then you have to get it to go back into physically into place, and then you have to get it to stay there, to retrain the whole body and the physiology and how the person works with themselves and with their environment to allow it to function better.
So that sounds, in a way, very similar to practices of healing. Some people do, it's a different practice altogether, but some people do what's called soul retrieval, and they try to retrieve part of the soul. And I would always say to people, well, you know, you have to prepare the ground first before doing that soul retrieval, and then you have to integrate. So it seems that your practice is very similar, that preparation, that integration phase is very important.
It is, yes, and you'll find that in any healing process, that it is important to have those three aspects in it. And one of the unfortunate things about medicine and healing at the present time is that all these practices are separate. There's no integration. There's no working together in any real terms, except in small pockets of places. As one osteopath that I remember training with years ago said that he finds some healers work better and do better work than osteopaths in the cranial field, which is a specialist part of osteopathy. And some osteopaths do pretty poor work because they only work in a physical way. And it's trying to get to take down those boundaries in a safe way for patients is something which I personally would like to do. But we're all trained in our little boxes, and sometimes we stay too much in those.
So it's working at all level then, working physically and physiologically.
Yes, physically, physiologically, and down through the different levels of energy. I mean, you mentioned energy healing. Mm-hmm. Everything in the world is energy, whether it's something solid, like the bones, right down through to then underneath that, then if we take the head, we've got the bones of the head. Underneath that, we've got the brain, which has its own natural rhythm and movement. Underneath that, then we've got a fluid called the cerebrospinal fluid, which is one of the most vital fluids in the body. And as Sutherland, the founder of cranial osteopathy, said, within that, you have the fluid within the fluid, or that vital force or power within the body, the governing power, whose job it is to regulate the functioning of the body to give you the best health you can have, given your state of well-being, your constitution, and how you're integrating yourself into the environment and everything around you. We have within us a governing force, which in osteopathy we call the vital force. And that vital force, its job, if you like, is to run the body harmoniously. It'll give us the best health we can have given our circumstances. One of the examples I give people is if I want to be a politician and I drive my life in that direction, I'm going to be working strange hours, eating strange and putting a lot of stress in my system. The vital force job is then to give me the best health it can under those circumstances, which may not be perfect health. If I've had a poor constitution from birth and I've got poor heart conditions or lung function, I may not be able to reach the stage of being an athlete, but the vital force's job is to give me the best health I can to help me reach my potential within that. If we have that osteopathic lesion, those twists and sprains within the spine, they can stop us from reaching our potential. They may lead to adverse changes in the body organs or tissues. And they can become either precursor or contributing factor or maintaining factor in disease. And if we remove those with osteopathic practice, then our potential is increased and we can get up to where we are. One of the traumas that we do have is birth, or can be. Birth can be a lovely experience or can be a difficult experience. And during birth, the head bones of the head all mold over each other and are supposed to then open up and start what in osteopathy we call the primary respiratory mechanism, which is not our breathing, but it's the breathing of the nervous system itself within the body, the brain and so on. And if there's a trauma at that time, that sets it off on a wrong track from the very beginning. And it's like a car running wild downhill. It's not going to be able to take all the turns and twists that it's supposed to have, and it'll crash sooner than it should. So one of the things we like to do is to see children and mothers as soon after birth as possible so that we can try and normalise that function.
And I read somewhere a while back that it is important for the baby to come through the birth canal, probably for a similar reason to what you mentioned. And so when we talk about babies who are born through caesarean, they're missing a messaging of the brain, or how is
they,
it exactly?
They miss that initial impulse where the bones are pushed crowded over each other and then open up again. It's like a it's almost like a the beginning of a respiration, a closing and an opening. But having said that, a good cesarean is better than a very traumatic birth. Very traumatic birth can be much harder to manage than a good cesarean afterwards. So cesareans can't always be avoided. But when we find with cesareans is that usually they're because the child has got into distress and the mother is in distress. So there's that trauma on top of everything else. Then they miss that natural normalizing impulse in the nervous system. And you have to regularize all of those things and take the shock out of the system, take the shock out of the mother again, and allow the bonding to take place. I remember one graphic incidence of that we had. The mother was in pain. The baby had severe colic and was crying and distressed, and it was the mother that came in for treatment, and the baby was with the grandmother in another room. And as the mother let go of the shock of the birth and the pain of the birth, the baby in a totally separate room went nice and quiet and still and relaxed at the same time. That's the connection between the two. So sometimes it's the mother needs treatment, sometimes it's the baby, but most times it's both.
And that's a very interesting concept, what you're talking about the healing happening for the mother and the child getting better, because something that I've witnessed, and I remember years ago, a general practitioner doctor said a lot of the time new mothers would bring their babies, and actually it's the mother really that was upset or tense or anxious, and that in turn brought the baby, but there was nothing really wrong with the baby.
Yes, this is something which you see quite regularly, and it's something to be very conscious of when you're treating children in particular. And it's one of the things which I like about the centre I work in. We do have counsellors and reflexologists and others there working in the same centre, so that the therapy may not always be the right one of osteopathy, that we can integrate other things with it. But when you're treating, when a mother or a father brings a child in, it's because there is a problem. The problem may not be with the child. It may be with the family. It may be a strain within the family. Or it may be an injury that's happened to the family that the child is reacting off. And to try and do the detective work to find out what that is and to work with it is quite challenging. And it's one of the things which I like about my work is that detective aspect of it.
The rhythm is the rhythm of life. It's the rhythm of your chi, or what exactly would that be? Do you have an idea of what you're working with?
They're all words used in different cultures for much the same thing, whether it's the chi, the life force, the vital force, the innate force within the body, the prana. They're all words trying to describe that innate force within the body which animates the body.
And which ultimately has the ability to heal it.
Yes.
Or at least bring it to its ultimate level. And I suppose as in each profession, when we work with people, it's important not to attach to results, because say if you're working with somebody who is quite seriously injured or has a terminal disease, and although you may wish to be able to cure them, we can never promise cure, and sometimes it can be quite difficult and yet rewarding as well. Can you tell us a bit more about some example of that?
Yet not being attached to results is quite important, because we don't know what's best for the person under most circumstances. And there was one tragic story, a case that I was involved in, of a young boy about 9 years of age who had a drowning accident while on holidays, and he was severely brain damaged, but he was locked in a coma. He had been that for 3 or 6 months, I can't remember which now, and I was asked if there's anything I could do. I said, I'll try, I'll have a look. And as I treated him, you could feel that innate force, that vital force reacting and becoming more and more rhythmic. And I treated him one day, and he passed away that night, very peacefully, very quietly, in his sleep. And his parents saw the significance of this quicker than I had, that what the treatment had allowed was him to complete that process. It was a tragic process of dying, but that allowed him to complete it, and complete it in a nice, peaceful, gentle way. And they wrote me a beautiful letter about it, and it opened my eyes to what you're talking about, not being attached to the results.